Do you know the one thing I want is when people walk in that door, the brightest, brightest, brightest thing they see first in this sanctuary is an empty cross. And we've talked lighting and whatever. We want to pin spot that light so that no matter how bright the lights get on this stage, the cross is still the brightest. And I want you to pray about something for me. There's something else I want our people to see, you and me and all our guests who come in these doors in 2012. I don't know how it can be done financially. We don't have the money. Thank God we are above budget for December, for the month of December. We're below budget we're over budget throughout the whole year. We've not had a good year, should we say, financially. But this month has been absolutely incredible. I don't know how this can ever happen. Only God can take care of this. But here's what I want to see. I want to see the words at the top or around that cross put in wood, painted, professionally done, that looks nice, that says, Jesus Christ is Lord. And then at the bottom of it, I want the scripture, Acts 2:36. Because I want everybody that walks in this door, that looks and sees in this place, the first thing is they don't see how beautiful this building is. I had people this past week at a funeral that were just absolutely overwhelmed at how beautiful the building was. It is gorgeous. Thank you, Lord, for providing for this in 1961. But folks, I don't want them to see the beauty of the building. I want them to see an empty cross and that we proclaim at this church, Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't want you to just say it this year. I don't want you just to write it down, that it's a nice little word. That's what most Christians do. They say Jesus is Lord, and then they do what they want to do. But when you say Jesus is Lord, you are bound by some things scripturally that you have to do. Do you understand that? I mean, there are some things when you as a child of God say Jesus is Lord, you simply can't do anymore. And I want to show you that this morning, very briefly, in 7 points. There are a lot of scripture. I don't believe in preaching the Word without using the Bible. Hello. You know? So, I mean, we've put it down there for you. I'm not going to read every one of them. I tell you, we'd be here to 2:30 at least if I did that. You go home, you write them down, you read them. I've put them up on the screen for you. I've got it on a piece of paper. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray about what I just told you. I don't know how that can happen. Or if it can happen. But I just know it's been in my heart over this last year. And it's been overwhelming. It's continually growing and growing and growing. And we're not just going to put something up there just to make it look nice. I tell you what I wanted to do, folks. I wanted to take the stained glass out of the windows from the old steeple, which we've saved, put back there on a backdrop, backlight it, put Jesus as Lord with that scripture on it. However, it's going to cost about $40,000 to do something like that. We don't have that kind of money. God does. And I said, how are they going to know unless I tell you what's on my heart? But this is more than just something we write on the wall. This is a vision. This is looking out. And my focus this year is you. I'm fixing to blow you away. You may fire me before the day's over with, and that's all right. I want to see this church grow, yes. Don't misunderstand me. I want to see the ministry continue. And folks, this church is doing one incredible ministry. Don't you ever think you're not, because God's blessing. 70 different families were blessed through the Christmas holidays and Thanksgiving holidays because we got food on their table. Thank you, Lord, from this church and Storehouse Ministries. You have provided for a place of Hackleburg, Alabama that's just been absolutely overwhelming. You have provided for Cobb Pregnancy Center. You have provided an Awana ministry. You provided books recorded scripturally and talked about the birth of Jesus to every one of our Awana kids. They were wrapped and taken out here Sunday night a week ago. And we got the gospel in the homes thanks to you folks in this church. I could go on and on and on of the ministry that this church alone is doing. Folks, I want us to proclaim to this community, Jesus is Lord, because I feel my personal responsibility as your pastor is to you. It's to help us grow. And I'm going to stand here and tell you, you've heard me say it so many times, one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I have no authority to do what I do except because, by the fact that I'm called of God to do it. I am no better than you. The ground on this place is level everywhere we go. Most of you in this house have known me quite a bit. Most of you have known me. A lot of you have known me almost all my life. Some of you just met me over the last few years. But folks, I want to center 2012 right here. You're going to hear messages from this pulpit that are discipleship messages that begin to grow and grow and grow. You're going to hear messages from this pulpit that lead us to prayer. You're going to hear messages from this pulpit that lead us to an empty tomb. You're going to hear messages in 2012 that lead us to a throne room of God that talk about Jesus Christ interceding for His people. I, as your pastor, have a personal spiritual responsibility to disciple everyone in this house. And my promise to you in 2012, unless God takes my breath and takes me home, I'm going to do that. Not that we're not interested in outreach, not that we're not interested in ministry. Trust me, my heart is, you know where my heart is there. But I want us to take a stand in 2012 at this church, in Cobb County, in Fair Oaks community, and say to this community, Jesus is Lord, and anything else outside of that realm, we won't stand for it ever again. Now, you're going to make some people mad. But that's okay. But I want you to stand with me and your pastor. We take a stand with that in our county. The people in our county know what I stand for. The people at Cobb Police know that what I stand for as well. And our law enforcement in this area and what we're doing, we're trying to take that ministry and bring it even out what we've been trying to do by simply trying to proclaim and make sure people understand there's more being and making Jesus as Lord than just simply saying the statement. Matthew read the scripture that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, that every knee should bow and should confess that Jesus is Lord. If you are going to confess, if Randy is going to confess, and when I say you, this is not a put-down term. I'm talking to me. You understand? I hear this much louder than we do. When you say Jesus is Lord, and you mean it, I mean you mean it, there's some things in your life, in my life, in all of our lives in this church, that's going to have to change today. Or God will not honor Olive Springs Baptist Church. Or Fortified Hills Baptist Church. Or First Baptist Church Smyrna. Or, you see my point? So here they are. They're in your outline. Now, there's more to the outline than just filling the blanks. And that's what you're going to understand in a minute, so you might want to pick it up when you leave. But here it is. There's some things I want you to do that I believe you and I must do in 2012 if we as a church and individually are going to make Jesus Lord. And the first one is simple. Simple. Be a disciple. This is an intentional effort to be a disciple. And there are three things about being a disciple I want you to do. The first one is study the Word of God. Read it, yes. I have a friend of mine, I was talking to him this past weekend. He reads the Bible through every year, but he does more. He does individual study. He does more than simply reading the Bible. He does intensive, intentional study. I'm not talking about just simply your Sunday school preparation and all this that you do. I'm talking about taking the Bible off the shelf, making it a book that we read and that we study and we disciple. How are we going to make Jesus as Lord if we don't consult the instruction manual? So many church folks read it just for Sunday and put it out the rest of the week. It's time we take it out. The second thing, if you're going to be a disciple, is you're going to have to attend discipleship classes. We're going to provide a way to do that through our worship service, through the ministry we do in preaching. Matthew is arranging, and we're arranging discipleship classes on the 15th of this month. Am I right? Yeah, Sunday the 15th at 5 o'clock in the chapel. We're beginning a new worship service. Just a good old evening worship service. You enjoy this morning, you'll enjoy the 5 o'clock worship in our chapel beginning on the 15th. Those times are going to be used as discipleship and growing, very intimate. We're not going to be in this part. We'll be in the chapel. You, and then we're going to have discipleship classes that help you grow. as a child of God. Most Christians run the other way when we talk about discipleship classes. I'm going to ask you in 2012 to run to them. And we're going to provide times during the day where folks can get here, where they don't have to drive at night. And we'll provide ways. We'll put some of this online at our website. We'll do everything we can possibly do. And then here's what I want you to do if you're going to be a disciple. The third thing, I want you to find yourself someone this year you can disciple. I got a book that'll help you. It's called The Bible. That's the first one. And then I've got another manual that'll help you too, that you can sit down with that person and just help them grow. The first thing I believe we need to do is we need to make an intentional decision to be a disciple in 2012. Like never before. Folks, many of you in this house are disciples. All of you. I mean, I've watched you. You have taught me. I've worked beside you for now almost 6 years. I have lived with you all in this building from a child all the way here. I have watched so many of your life. You have trained me. You have discipled me over the years. But let's make sure in 2012, every one of us in this building finds someone to disciple. Maybe a prayer partner in your Sunday school class. Maybe someone in your neighborhood. Maybe somebody, anybody that you can help them grow. Get two or three folks together and meet for prayer. Even if it's by telephone. We even have three-way calling now. You can get three or four folks on the line and pray. I mean, you know, the internet is absolutely incredible. It's what can be done with prayer. And with what can be done. So be a disciple. Study the Word, attend discipleship, and disciple believers. Make sure you do that. Here's the second thing. I want you to be a people on mission. Be a people on mission. You can read the Scripture. It's the Great Commission. We don't have a choice in this thing. We have a fact to be a people on mission. Now, here's what it takes. I believe you and I need to be an intentional witness. You and I need to be an intentional witness. An intentional witness from the standpoint of making the decision that we're going to say something about Jesus Christ throughout the week. We're going to talk about what God... I hope when you leave here today, you tell your families at lunch today what a worship service you were in. That God showed up in this place today. My prayer is for you that when... That you be an intentional witness. Yes, I'm talking about leading people to Jesus. But folks, I'm just talking about Jesus. That's being a witness. And I want you to be a witness. The second thing is to invite people to Olive Springs Baptist Church. It takes an average of 11 invitations. Now it's gone up to get somebody to come to church one time. How did you come to Olive Springs Baptist Church? I'll tell you how Alan and Irene Larea showed up here. You've heard me tell this before. My daddy invited them. We lived next door to them in 1970 over here in Old Carriage Drive, just up from Marion and Harold Compton. So many of you remember them who were here. Alan and Irene and their kids moved in. Terry and Sandra next door to us. We all became close friends. We lived next door to each other for years. And I can almost remember the day my dad and Alan built them a garden out in the back of their yard, separate, and they worked on them together. And I can remember the day my daddy said to Alan Larea, I wish you'd come and see and visit us at Olive Springs Baptist Church. My father taught the Crusaders class, and he wanted Alan to be a part of that class. And if Alan Larea, Alan, are you here? Irene, are y'all here? If Alan was standing right here, he would stand up and tell you, Randy Cheek is telling you the truth. I'm here today because of his daddy. Folks, come to church. Why are you here? Why did you even show up at Olive Springs? Why are you a member here? Who invited you? Somebody brought you. I challenge you, pick up the phone to your neighborhood. Pick up the phone to your family, coworkers, and friends. Pick up the phone and say, listen, folks, you won't believe what God is doing at Olive Springs. It's an incredible place. You need to come. I want you to come Sunday. What happens? We pick up the phone and we say, it is so cold in that building, I can't go anymore. You couldn't believe what I heard somebody say in the hallway. And who would want to go to that church? Hello? I wouldn't. Folks. And then the third thing, or the second thing, invite. And I put a blank there. I want you to set a goal. Invite 10 people. Invite 20. Invite 50. And you work on that. That's your goal. You'll have to do that. I'm going to invite 50 people to Olive Springs Baptist Church. Start today. This week. Who will be in church next week because you simply made a phone call and asked? Don't give up either. Keep trying. Keep hounding them. After a while, they'll just come to appease you. And when they do, they'll get under the preaching of the Word of God, and God will get in their heart and start convicting them. And all that work you did, and you almost gave up on the 11th phone call, they think, I'm boring them to death, I can't believe, but I'm going to call and ask them just one more time. And then the third thing, I want you to do a specific mission endeavor. I'm not talking about a group here. I'm not talking about a Sunday school class. I'm not talking about our men's ministry or our women's ministry or our church staff. I want every one of you all, including this pastor, to figure out a mission, something they can do. It might be taking bread to the next door neighbor. It might be visiting someone in the hospital. It might be developing a prayer chain for a telephone for a group of folks whereby, and these are done in our Sunday school classes as well, I understand, but you can pray for specific things, and you got about 6 people in that prayer chain, and you call them. That's not a gossip chain, hello, that's a prayer chain. And you pray like that. Whatever you can do, you decide on a mission you can do. Some of you in this house, over this past year, have done that very thing. You've done mission. You've been a part of mission. I'm not talking about going to another country. I'm not even talking about going to another state. I'm talking about just deciding on doing a mission that you can do. Now, some say, Randy can't get out of the house, can't do what I used to could do. I'm getting to that point as well. We all can't do what we used to could do. But folks, God has let us breathe. And you are here this morning, and I am here this morning because God's kept us alive one more day. He's obviously not finished with us yet. You make sure you do a specific mission. If I, Doug, or Matthew, or Daniel can help you in any way, let us know. Let us know. If we're going to make Jesus as Lord, we have no choice. If you're going to tell the world Jesus is Lord, and that's all you do, they're going to say, huh? See, we've got to put actions. We've got to put feet to what we say. The third thing, folks, be a soldier for Jesus. Be a soldier for Jesus. I said it a little while ago. Today's as good as it's going to get. The scripture in Ephesians 6 is spiritual warfare. Some saying, Randy, I don't believe in demons. Well, you need to go back and read the Bible. I'm sorry, folks. The devil and his demons want you. And I'm going to tell you something. They want your church. And my church. And God's church. They want me. They tried every way they could possibly do with kidney stones and everything to keep me from preaching and stopping me on a Sunday morning. And I am so glad that despite the pain that most of you knew nothing about, I preached and thank God I was able to do it. I don't know how. People would say, what an incredible sermon. And I thought to myself, I got a kidney stone that's 7.5 millimeters going down my body. How can I preach a good sermon, But God did that because hell wanted to stop it. There are 3 more in this right kidney, and y'all just pray they stay there. They're not bothering anybody. They're not bothering me. They're not as big as the other one, and my prayer, and there's no more in the left kidney. They're all right here. So y'all just pray that part of my body, they stay right where they are, or they pass quickly. But folks, thank you. But folks, let me tell you, wow, be a soldier for Jesus. How do you do that? Number one is simply this, make individual and corporate prayer your passion. Make prayer your priority. Individual and corporate prayer. Tom Rainer, dear friend, he's now the head of Lifeway. He was the former dean of the Billy Graham School of Missions and Evangelism at Southern Seminary, where I got my doctorate. And Tom's passion was prayer. And he said, the church grows for 2 reasons. A Southern Baptist church, or any church, grows for 2 reasons. An emphasis on the preaching of the Word of God, period. And prayer. Prayer. You get a church on their face before God, crying out to God and say, God, we can't do this anymore. You're going to have to do it. We ain't got enough sense to do it. We've got to have your eyes. We've got to have your heart. We've got to have your hands. We've got to be determined to do what we got to do. You get a church that gets on their face before God and makes prayer priority. You watch what God does. You and I have never seen that in our life. But we will. On Sunday nights at 5 o'clock, prayer is going to be our priority. Folks, let me tell you, Take a stand for Jesus. You ever been in those places where you know you should have said something about your church, about Jesus, and you didn't do it? Well, make a vow this year in your heart that, you know, God, if you open up the opportunity, I'm going to open my mouth and say something for you. I'm not talking about a 30-minute long witnessing encounter. I'm talking just a few seconds. Hey, I'd love to invite you to Olive Springs. You go out to eat today or whatever throughout this week, just invite your waitress. Or simply say to the waitress or waiter, how can we pray for you? Or how can I pray for you? First of all, if they have a tray in their hand, get away, because they're going to throw it or break it, because they're going to be so blown away by what you say. You're going to catch them off guard. So be careful how you say that. But then look at them sincerely and say, how can I pray for you? And watch what they tell you. Now, you'll encounter some folks who don't believe in that stuff. The Bible says, let them go. But those, however, who do, will not only tell you, they'll tell you, and they'll be blown away. Because what's going to happen is that waiter or waitress is going to go back there to that kitchen, and they're going to say, you won't believe what happened to me at table three. That couple asked me what I can pray for, and I told them my husband and I are getting a divorce. He's pushed me all around. He's done this. And I am desperate. I didn't know what to do. And God sent a couple I didn't even know to ask me to pray. I wish we knew how we could change somebody's life, Doug, just with one statement. And number three, fight spiritual warfare. Strap in, folks. Satan is not finished with us yet. But God's on the throne. And we know the end of the story. Greater is he who's in us than he who's in this world. The Lord will win. Be a soldier for Jesus, the fourth thing. This goes back to what I told you when I started. The fourth thing is simply this. Be a shepherd for God's people. I tell you, this church does one awesome job at this one. I have watched you over these years, and I've watched you long before I ever came here as your pastor. Shepherd your people. I watched you shepherd my family in the death of my father in 1973. I watched you shepherd my family in the homegoing of my mother in 1996 and her funeral right here and his funeral right here in this building. I've watched you shepherd one another in families. I have been with you and most of you in this house where you have faced grief and are facing grief and are walking through it. And I have watched how you shepherd one another because you've done the first thing, watch over one another. And that's what you've done. Very first thing it takes, if you're going to be a shepherd, you got to watch over. And I want you to watch over one another. We're growing a men's ministry here. And one of the ministries of that men's ministry is to do this number A part, where these men, not just our deacons, but men in our church, we can all watch over one another. We'll see where God moves and takes that. I'm excited about that ministry and other ministries that God is building here. But thank you for doing that. Don't stop. Don't stop. The second thing, encourage one another. Folks, let me tell you something. This world is blasting every one of you. If you have not hit negativism this past week, you're probably in the rare breed. Somebody has said something or you've run into something or something has happened or whatever that's been a negativism in your life. You are bombarded with that 24/7 outside this church. The sad thing is what people do is when we get in the church, we do the same thing. Southern Baptists are the only people that shoot themselves in their foot and their members twice. They just don't shoot them once. They shoot them twice. They make sure they're down. I've been in some of the most ugliest places in my life in a hallway of a Southern Baptist church. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's got to stop. It's got to stop in this church. It's got to stop in every church. People have got to be encouraged. When people walk in this building, we ought to make sure, and I thank God for our greeters every Sunday, whether it's their pastor or whether it's someone that's homeless in this community. Those folks are right there at these doors. We are so glad you're here. Paul McConnell opens that door for me back there. He's got it open. Paul's got a smile on his face from ear to ear. And I know that man is in pain, but he's standing right there taking care of him. And all these others. We've got to make sure that everybody in this church is encouraged. Don't let a person who has battled this world come in and hear your negative comments. Let them hear Jesus come out of your mouth. There are too many parking lot committees. There are too many hall committees. It's got to stop. I've been in places before where I didn't even want to come because I was worried about all the negative I would hear before I got to the pulpit. I'm going to tell you something, and you all know this. I am a one-track mind on Sunday morning. I don't remember anything you tell me on Sunday morning prior to 11 o'clock. I'm not being mean. I love you dearly. But God has given me a calling, and that's to preach the Word. And I am looking at that calling. If you say, Randy, can you go see such and such on Monday at 2 o'clock? I will forget that before I leave this worship service. I can't remember what I used to could remember. You're going to have to call Sally. You're going to have to make me write it down. And that's just me. I'm sorry. I'm very human in that respect. But folks, what I'm saying to you encourages all. Encourages all. And then here's the third part of this one I want to tell you. And all this is written down. Protect the unity and the fellowship of Olive Springs. I can tell you for sure, and I am the prophet here, Satan wants his church. He wants to get in your life. 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 All you got to do is let him that little bit. Something will come out of your mouth, and you'll think, oh. And then afterwards you will say, whoa, where'd that come from? Hell itself is where it came from. Folks, you and I are living in wonderful times, exciting times. But we have got to protect the unity of this church. And when your neighbor sitting next to you in this congregation tries to disrupt this unity in any way, you ought to call one another down and say, we're not going to stand for that. I don't care if you've been a member here 100 years or you just joined yesterday. We're not standing for that stuff anymore. We're going to protect the unity. If this church and any church gets on its face before God like never before, and we protect the, I told you, y'all may fire me after this, but protect the unity of the church, and we protect that kind of unity with everything I got, you watch heaven fall in this place. I will stake my very life on it. God, take me home if it don't happen tomorrow. I'm that sure it will happen. I have asked God and I prayed that, Lord, before you take me home, I want to see a revival in this county. I want to see a revival in this church that Olive Springs Baptist Church has never seen. Not because of me, not because of you, but in spite of us. That's what I want to see happen. And it won't happen if we don't protect the unity of this church with everything we got. Three more and I quit. Number five. Be a worshiper. I hope you'll read Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. I'm not going to quote it. I want you to go home and read it. 2012, make your focus, Jesus is Lord. Say to the Lord Jesus every day, Jesus is Lord. And then say to Him, I'm going to live this today. And ask Him to keep you in check about making that statement. Don't let anything come out of your mouth, anything happen, or anything you say. And we'll do it, folks. We'll fall flat on our face. I know I run into walls. But I am so glad God's a loving God and forgiving God, because He says, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from it all. Now, we don't use that as a license to sin. But thank God He loves us and He knows we're human. We're all human in this house. We're going to fall flat on our face. But I am so glad that God loves us and forgives us. Wow. Make daily worship your priority. Sometimes we just don't take worship out of the house. This house. We say worship something we do on Sunday or Wednesday. But folks, let me tell you, some of the best worship times I have is in the car. You know, me and the Lord, you know, I got on the music. Most of it's Southern Gospel, but either way it's on. And I'm just having a worship time. Matthew, I mean, let me tell you. I was sitting in my house yesterday, and I was listening to David Phelps sing his son, Don Francisco's song called He Is Alive. I'm going to tell you what, God and I just had us a good time. Connie was helping Bethany, and they were doing some moving and getting some things taken care of for their apartment and helping he and, you know, and all that. And I'm sitting there with that thing. I just kind of cranked that TV up a minute and listened to that, and I'm telling you what, you talking about worship. The preacher needs the worship, too. I've worshiped in this house today, Doug. Thank you, bud. You know, let me tell you what. And number C, the C part about this, make worship contagious. Talk about it. Don't talk about me. I'm the last person you need to talk about. But talk about Jesus. And just tell them, you know, sometimes we go out, and we're all guilty of this. We go out and we talk about it's this, it's that. The lights were too bright. This was didn't work out. This seat that we recovered, they're just not soft enough. I can't believe we turned them in 30 degrees. We should have left them straight. I mean, the carpet should have been purple instead of brown or whatever it is, maroon. The walls should have been painted that ceiling. I can't believe we made it flat. We should have. This is what people hear. The world don't want to hear that crud, folks. They want to hear that lives are being transformed. They want to hear that Jesus is being Lord in a place, and they want you to be so contagious, you'll do anything you can to get them to come. Boy, if we got that excited about church, what would God do? Make worship contagious. I don't know how else to do it, Doug. We've done all we know to do, and we're going to keep doing all we've known to do. God's led you here. God's led all of you guys here. We have a blessed staff in this house. And God's put us together for a reason. Why? To make worship contagious to everybody we see. For God's sake, don't go out of here saying how bad it is. Tell them what God's doing here. They're going to fire me, Doug. They are going to fire me. Number six. Y'all, I can do this because I love you, and you love me. This is a different message than I usually ever preach. But I believe one that I wanted to share with you. The sixth one is be a minister. Be a minister. The first shall be last. The word minister is a little word called doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S. Well, actually, it's diakonos, but I'm going to use the word doulos here because it means slave. It means bondservant. And the first thing you need to do is practice a doulos lifestyle. One day when we realize that we are nothing and God is everything, our lives will change. One day when you realize that you are absolutely zero, but with God, you're perfect. You're in God's hands. Then your life will never be the same again. One day when you realize that you are covered with the blood of Jesus from the top of your head to where, folks? The bottom of the soles of your feet, that you are sealed until the day of redemption, and nothing can snatch you out of the hand of God. One day that sinks in, you'll never be the same again. One day when you and I both realize that when God forgives your sin, I don't care about your past. When you ask God to forgive it, it is wiped clean. The only folks that remember it are the people around you. And Satan, he loves it. It's amazing to me. God says, I forgive every sin but one, rejection of the Holy Spirit. Southern Baptists, however, have a list of sins that they never forgive. There's something wrong with that picture. Practice humility. Practice humility. I am convinced that's why God made me short. I have to look up to everybody. That was a complex years ago for me as a small child. And you all that are children or whatever, and you're short, don't you ever let that be a complex. Because I'm going to tell you what. One of the dearest men I ever knew was a guy by the name of, was our associate pastor, Mary and I had Bill Thomas at Ash Street in Forest Park. He was a little short. He was shorter than I was. But I'm going to tell you something. You talking about a little powerhouse? He could out-preach anybody in this room, including this preacher. And I'm telling you, it was one incredible man. And I know another man like that I love dearly, a bunch of them. Former pastor here, Elmer Faust. He's like a dad to me in the ministry till this day. And another dear friend that all of you in this house know, Marion Beaver. You talking about a powerhouse. Wow. I've watched these men. They practice humility. There's no man any more humble, in my opinion, than Marion Beaver. Would you all agree with that? Say that. Do you? I mean, do you? Yeah. Marion is just one incredible friend. And I've watched their lifestyle. Their lifestyle is humility. Their lifestyle is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but without Christ, I do absolutely nothing. Practice humility. And then the third thing in being a minister is practice agape. It's a Greek word for unconditional love. We don't have a word we translate that. Our love doesn't do it. Because the love that God has for us is completely, totally unconditional. He loves us in spite of the fact of who we are. Boy, I'm so glad. Because I'm not lovable. You know? In God's eyes, I'm simply not lovable. Because of sin. But that cross changed that. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me from my sin. At 11 years old, when I walked down and told Bernard Deacons, pastor, still have the letter, it's hanging up in my office, that he sent me in November of 1960. Can't remember the date, but it's in there. Practice agape. And then the final thing, folks, is simply this. Be a genuine believer. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is known as the Old Testament Shema. S-H-E-M-A. Shema is simply a word that says hear in the Hebrew. Shema Yisrael is what it begins with. Hear, O Israel, and it's follow the Lord. Our God is one Lord, and you shall love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Folks, in 2012, I want you to be a genuine believer. Let me say something, too. I'm not insinuating we're not doing this. These are challenges. These are cautions. These are things we have to do in 2012, now, if we're going to make Jesus as Lord. And the first thing is this, live for Jesus. Not for yourself, not for your grandchildren. There's no person in this house that loves their grandchildren more than I love Griffin. Well, Jimmy, no, me too, brother. I know Jimmy loves his, and you all love yours. It's the way. But we all, this grandparenting thing, I just love, guys. I'm telling you, I just loved it. And I love my Bethany, I love you, sweetheart. And Ryan, you too. But Griffin, if I got to figure that one, but either way, I won't get into that. Live for Jesus. Live for Him. He has got to be number one over the church, over your wife, over your family, over your grandkids. He's got to be live for Jesus. The second thing, you got to live like Jesus. I am very good at opening my mouth and inserting my foot, and usually I get 2 feet in there. And over these last few years, I've just tried to listen a whole lot more than I spoke. Most of the time, I'm doing better. A lot of times, I fall flat on my face. And folks, live like Jesus. Act like Jesus. How are you going to do that? Study the Word. See, all this works together here. All these 7 things work together. And then the final thing I think is the most important one of everything I've said as part of these 7. Live under Jesus. Now, I can make a sermon on all 7 of these. Live under Jesus. What I mean by that is live under His authority. The authority right here, this book. If it says it, it doesn't really matter whether you believe it or not. That's all it is. It's done. God did it. Pow, it's done. You know? God said it, that settles it. Live under His authority. This world, God is sovereign in this world. We live in a mess. The United States, I don't have to tell you, is in an absolute political mess. But God is in control. He's not off the throne. He's in control. Be a disciple. Be a people on mission. Be a soldier for Jesus. Be a shepherd for God's people. Be a worshiper. Be a worshiper. Be a minister. And be a genuine believer. Now, folks, if we put our mind in, we're going to fail. We are human. We're going to fall off these steps. We're going to hit the wall. I know. But we're trying. And God will honor that because God will grow us in this room. You pray for me, too. I thank you for your prayers for kidney stones, and that one passed. Trust me. But I want you to pray for my preaching, that it will do. This is my guide this year. No, that's not the itinerary for the sermons. You won't hear this sermon again this year. It's on paper. But I am going to use these 7 points as I prepare every message in my life. And I promise you, these little squares for my life, they are going to our staff in staff meetings. And your staff, we're going to be grading ourselves throughout the year of how we're doing in each of these 7 things. This is not something I'm throwing away in the trash can. This is something that will be used with our staff every staff meeting of every month throughout 2012 as well. I encourage you to join your staff, and I'll make more copies of this as you need them as well. Folks, as we close here this morning and we go home, there's a little chorus that simply says what is right there on the screen, Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's what we have done this morning. We have sung that kind of music that has talked about the fact that I am determined. We've talked about how great God is. We've talked about the holiness of God, that we stand on holy ground. What better way to close out this service than to stand up together and let's sing that little chorus, He is Lord. And I want to encourage you this morning, if there is a commitment that you need to make publicly to Matthew or I or Doug or Daniel or us, we'll be right here close by. But I just want us to make this our prayer as we close the house. And this morning, this is our benediction. And let me say something to you as well. I want you to pray for Matthew. Matthew's leaving this afternoon, heading to Talbot University, continuing in the second semester of his doctoral work. He'll be gone for a couple weeks working on that. I've been there. I know what it's like. He's done a lot of work to get ready for this. And you pray for this man as he flies there this afternoon and be gone a couple weeks, that God will honor his life, and already has been by him being here, but honor his life and his study and take care of his precious family while he's away. Will you do that, everybody in this house? Pray for Matthew. And we're going to do that as we close in just a minute. But let's sing, He is Lord. Let's sing that together.
He is Lord. He is Lord. From the dead, and He
That's
is
right.
Lord.
Yes. Wow, think about it. Every knee.
Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that He
Sing that again, would you? Let's sing it one more time.
Come on. He is Lord. If you believe that, lift it up. Come on now. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Lord, it's been so good just to be in this house as we've prayed together, as we've stood and sat on holy ground, as if we've proclaimed how great You are, as we've thanked You for the blessings of 2012, 11, and for the adversity we faced, and we praise You for the days that lie ahead if You so tarry Your coming and You don't take us home. But Father, we commit to You as a body of Christ to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and live it every day of our life. And Father, I know we've incited hell again this morning. Satan will come at us and everyone in this house with everything he's got. And Lord, I ask You, oh, I beg You, Father, these folks need Your protection. I wish there was a way, trying to be God to them, Father, of me being able to protect them. I can't do that. I love these folks. You've let me preach from my heart what I believe You wanted me to say. And they've listened. And I pray for every one of them. Father, thank You for them. Will You hold them tightly in the palm of Your hand? Will You bless every home that's in this house? And Lord, will You keep them safe? Will You keep them from illness in difficult times? Will You prosper their lives? Lord, will You give them the desires of their heart? But most of all, Lord Jesus, will you just give them peace? A peace that passes all understanding, knowing that we're in the arms of Jesus and that nothing, absolutely nothing, not even the center of hell itself, can take us out of your arms. So, Father, in 2012, will you help us to hold on to that? Thank you that you called me here as their pastor. Father, there's so many people in this world that could do such a better job. I know that. But you didn't call him, you called me. And I promise you, Father, in the presence of these people, in the presence of this staff, and more importantly, in the presence of God Himself, I will do everything in my human power to lead these folks, as we've talked about in these seven statements this morning. And God, if I don't, you take me home, will you? If I can't do what you want here, I want to be with you. I love you, Father. And I know I'm not the only one in this building that does. Thank you for the sweet time we can share. Now bless us all with your peace. Passes all understanding in the name of the Father and the Son and the precious Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. Amen.